How many of you can relate to that scene, especially during this Christmas season? Now, hopefully you haven't left a child at home, but maybe you can totally relate to the reality. Maybe you've been running as fast as you can, you know, through the Christmas season, that you totally understand how somebody could do that. You're just like not even judging that, because you could see yourself doing that, running and running and running and forgetting what's really important. The movie Home Alone came out in 1990, one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. It's awesome. And you may remember the story. I know I grew up on this story, but the McAllister family, they're going on this trip of a lifetime. They live in Chicago, and they are planning to go overseas to Paris. And it's supposed to be the perfect Christmas trip, the perfect Christmas, a trip of a lifetime, really. And so, but you know how that is when you kind of expect something to go perfect, especially around the holidays. It never does. And so exactly in the same way, what happens to them happens to us. Of course, a power outage went out. They're asleep at night, getting ready to go there, excited about going there. And a power outage went out and all their alarm clocks reset. And this is before cell phone time, you know, where you still have that trusty thing. So all of them overslept. And it's one of those things. It was their extended family and everybody was there. And so they were forced to get ready as fast as they could, and really faster than their ability to count properly, because they get ready, they go to the airport, they're running as fast as they can to catch their flight, they get on the flight, and as they're airborne, they realize that in the chaotic rush to get there, that they accidentally left the most important thing, their son Kevin. 8-year-old Kevin, home alone. And of course, wouldn't you know it, chaos breaks loose. Robbers are trying to rob him during that time, and everything you could ever imagine. But they were so frazzled. They were so frazzled, rushing not to miss the perfect Christmas trip, that they actually missed what was most important. I mean, what a mess. What a mess. And I think all of us, maybe, hopefully we've never left a child at home, but I think all of us can relate to this illustration, because all of us have experienced the chaos and the messiness of what is known as the Christmas season. Some of it all seems to go perfectly, but if your goal is to have a perfect Christmas, I have bad news for you. It's almost unattainable. And in fact, if you don't believe me, simply try to gather all your family together at the perfect spot. Try to line them up and just take the perfect Christmas photo. It never works. Somebody's making a face. Somebody's in a bad mood. You know, it's hard to get everybody lined up properly. And you look at the pictures on the Hallmark cards or the advertisements on TV, and like, these families, they've got it together. And then here we are, here you are, wrestling your family. And it's far from perfect. Sometimes it's messy. You know, during Christmas, for so many of us, we're running and running from here to there. We're decorating. We're doing all the things, decking the halls and trying to make it to all the events we've got to get to, trying to purchase all the presents that we've got to get. And then there's our life stuff. There's deadlines that we still have to accomplish at work. There's bills that we still have to pay, and those bills are mounting with Christmas coming. And then there's also these priorities for our family, and how in the world do you juggle it all? And for some of you, though, that chaos during Christmas is a little bit different. It's maybe not because you're running and running and running, trying to catch up to the chaos of Christmas. Maybe for some of you today, the chaos of this season is maybe the first holiday that you spend without a loved one that you always celebrated with, whether they passed on or whether they're just distant right now. Maybe it's that kind of chaos. And maybe you're in a season where it's incredibly difficult to feel God's peace, to know that it's there. See, as we rush around trying to tackle the chaos and the messiness of the Christmas season, I think it's really easy, just like they did, to miss what's most important. To miss the most important thing that we really have gathered to celebrate, and that's Jesus. He's the reason for the season. In fact, what Jesus wants us to experience is his light, his hope, his grace, and today we're going to talk about his peace. Because the reality is, it's so interesting as we're rushing around and trying to, you know, do all the things for the holiday, we experience busyness and chaos and oftentimes messy situations. And it's so interesting that when Jesus came, one of the reasons we celebrate Christmas is because Jesus came to bring us peace. He came to bring us peace. Jesus wants you to have, to experience peace. And really the promise of Jesus's peace is all throughout the Christmas story. Now, the word peace only happens a few times in the Christmas narrative, but it's sprinkled, the idea of it is sprinkled all throughout. And so what I want to do today is we're going to look at several different things, but let me just give you a couple verses to just illustrate this in the Christmas. Last week we talked about Isaiah chapter 9 and how the prophet Isaiah was prophesying 700 years before Jesus actually came. And in Isaiah chapter 9, he's talking about what the Savior is going to be like. And check out what it says. It says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." I'll say it together. Prince of Peace. He came to be our Prince of Peace. He came, what this really means is he's the source of all peace. And so Isaiah is talking about this 700 years before he even comes and saying he's going to bring a kind of peace that you can't get anywhere else. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. He's the source of peace. And then on the first Christmas, you may remember, there's angels everywhere in the Christmas story. I don't know what it is, but maybe God wanted to get everybody's attention and to say, this is a big deal. But angels come while the shepherds are in the field, watching their flocks at night, as the scripture says. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, here's what the host of angels really announced to the shepherds that morning. It says this: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace. And so Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, announces peace. The angels come to the shepherds and they announce peace. And then when Jesus started his full-time ministry, he kind of announced that really it's a lot about bringing peace to our lives, bringing peace to our relationship with God, and even bringing peace on earth. In fact, Jesus, as he was about to go back into heaven, he's talking to his disciples. And he said this in John chapter 14. He said this: "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In other words, he's saying that, look, the kind of peace that I've come to give you, this is Jesus saying, the kind of peace I've come to give you, you can't get it anywhere else. You can't get it in a bottle. You can't get it in a pill. You can't get it by having more power. You can't get it with buying a whole lot of possessions. You don't get it by having prestige or even a better position. You get it. True peace comes through the person of Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus. And this peace that Jesus came to give you isn't like the peace that the world gives. It's not short term. It's not phony. It's not one of these things that's just fragile. I mean, how many peace treaties has the world signed and yet broken? I mean, it's almost like, you know, they last for a little bit and it's peace for a short time. And then oftentimes those things are broken. It's not fragile like that. It's deep-rooted peace that Jesus wants to give us. This deep-rooted peace that pierces through any chaos that's surrounding you. And peace that can cover you in the middle of even the messiness of life. And so what I want to do today is we're going to look at our Bibles, Luke chapter 1, at the Christmas story. And really it began a little bit before this with another birth, John the Baptist. But we're going to jump to when the angel announces to Mary that she's been chosen to become the mother that's going to give birth to the Son of God. Can you imagine? And you would kind of think, as we kind of go through this story, you would kind of think Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It would make sense if you were to script it, if you were to write it, if I were to write it, that when Jesus came, the Prince of Peace, that everything would kind of be peaceful with his birth. Everything would kind of be perfect. But the first Christmas was far from it. In fact, the first Christmas was chaotic and it was messy. And I think God wanted to do that to communicate something into our lives because we understand that. And so let's check out how the story begins. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. It says this: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee." Now, by the way, Nazareth was kind of like the hick town of Israel. It was kind of like, you know, some people believe that Nazareth was a town that maybe had 100. The most scholars believe 300 to 400 at the most. It was a place where nothing ever happened. And if you've grown up in that place, everybody would always say, "I can't wait to get out of Nazareth." Maybe you lived in a place like this. It was almost like, "Oh, has God forgotten about us? I'm in Nazareth." It says this: "And married to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings.'" This is a polite angel. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And so let's just kind of break this down about the Christmas season. At first it kind of looks like a Christmas card, doesn't it? It's sweet. Mary's engaged to Joseph. Let's be honest, though. She's from Nazareth. And it's kind of like, okay, God, who's my fiance going to be? It's a man named Joe. I mean, come on, where's the favor, God? I don't feel the favor. But anyway, it's one of these things where, sorry if your name's Joe, you talk about average Joe. But anyway, Mary was engaged to Joseph, and most people believe that it was arranged marriage. It was an arranged marriage. And so how many of you would love for your parents to pick out your spouse? None of us. I will say this, with my daughter, Kelsey, she's one. We're going to do an arranged marriage. I'm going to wait till she's 40. I'm going to pick out somebody that's perfect for her. We're just going to wait for that. No dating until she's 40. But most people believe it was an arranged marriage, but even still, just imagine what Mary was doing. If you've been engaged or married, you know what it's like. It's exciting. She was planning a wedding. She was saying yes to that dress. She was going and doing the cake testing and picking out the flowers and dreaming about what their life was going to be like together. I mean, you know that excitement. It's like all her hopes and all of her dreams. She just was just so excited about what was coming. And then, wouldn't you know it, an angel comes, and that would have scared you to death. I mean, if an angel came to most of us, we'd have to check our drawers. We'd have to clean ourselves up because it would be scary. We picture a little angel, on a tree or something like that. But man, this is like an angelic heavenly being coming to you and saying, greetings. You'd be freaked out. But let's just face it. What the angel communicates to Mary is pretty amazing. The angel essentially says to her, all of her relational life is kind of going together and falling in place. And the angel comes to her and says, Mary, you have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. Talk about everything kind of falling into place for her. It's like everything is going well. The Christmas card is ready. It's wrapped. It's ready to be sent. What more could she want? The story continues. Verse 29. It says this, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Wouldn't you be by an angel? And wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This is an incredible promise. You think about all this stuff, but I want you to also think about how Mary must have felt. Her eyes were probably bugging out. Think about this. How must she have felt? I mean, she had her plans. She had her dreams. She had her hopes. And yet, out of nowhere, God showed up with an invitation from an angel and essentially was calling her and inviting her into something completely different. Now, it was something so much greater than she could have ever envisioned, but it was different. And so you can just imagine that. She was being chosen to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, what an incredible honor. But at the same time, you have to understand that for hundreds and hundreds of years, we talked about this last week, the people of God had been waiting and longing for the Savior, for their Messiah. In fact, Isaiah speaks about 700 years before Jesus comes. But for 400 years, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God was essentially silent for the people. And they kind of wondered, God, have you forgotten about this promise, this from King David, that we're going to have a descendant and we're going to have a Messiah? But they waited and they longed for their Savior. And as they did, for Mary, never in a million years would she have ever thought that she would be the one. I mean, in the middle of all of her wedding planning, that God would pick her as a teenage girl about 14 years old and announce through an angel that Mary, now's the time and you're the plan. Can you imagine that? Everything that we've been waiting for, Mary, I'm putting it in your hands. You're the plan. I mean, just think about the reservation she probably felt, just like all of us. I mean, God, this is probably how Mary thought, God, I mean, don't you think I'm a little bit busy during this time? I mean, I'm planning a wedding. I've got my plans. I've got everything lined up. Things are going excellent. They're going great. God, can you just wait to call me? Can you just wait to use me when it's a little bit more convenient? Can you wait and call me and use me when I'm not as busy, when maybe it's a little bit more comfortable for me? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Mary felt peace in that moment? Do you think that Mary felt peace about all this thing that God was asking her to do? I mean, I think it's easy to over-spiritualize this and say, oh yes, she was singing hosannas to the heavens. But I don't know about you. I just think that Mary was probably really freaked out. She was probably overwhelmed and looking at this situation and what God was calling her to do and saying, what a mess. Because think about what's at stake if Mary said yes. If Mary said yes to what God was calling her to do, then essentially it meant taking a humongous risk. I mean, for one, she wasn't married yet. She was, still a virgin. And yet somehow she's going to have a baby. And how's that going to work out? I mean, we all know how that whole thing happens. And that's not the way it works. And how in the world, anyway, could she go to Joseph and share the news to him that she was conceived of the Holy Spirit? Who in the world, in their right mind, would believe that? You know, just think about these things that would be going in our mind. And Mary knew the cost of if he didn't believe her. Because let's face it, at worst, the law at that time required that anybody who had been unfaithful to their husband or to their fiance would essentially be stoned to death. So that could happen if she said yes to God. On the other hand, maybe at best, that maybe Joseph would choose to show her grace and divorce her quietly. Now, if you know the scripture, you know that that's exactly what Joseph plans to do. He plans to divorce Mary quietly, to just slip it under the rug for her not to be stoned and everything like that, and essentially to walk away. But an angel comes to him and shares with him that the baby's going to be born and it's the Son of God. But it's not until that happens. He was about to walk away. But either way, saying yes to God meant for Mary this messy, chaotic situation where she could potentially lose it all. You think she felt peace? You know, think about all the rumors that would be going around and the names people would be calling her. Think about all the things and the interruption in her plans and all the chaos. And yet the angel comes to her and the message from the angel is essentially, do not be afraid. The Lord's with you. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And for so many of us, when we read the scripture, maybe for some of us, we're going through some things in our life that just, there just doesn't seem to be peace. Maybe there's so much chaos going on. And then you hear a preacher or you hear the scriptures saying peace on earth. And you say, yeah, right. Maybe in a cynical way, you say, you just don't even know my situation. Mary's situation, Mary was standing in the middle of a mess when Jesus came to her, when Jesus called her, and when the angels announced, do not be afraid. You know what I think this tells us? I think it tells us that the peace of God doesn't require an absence of chaos. It means that the peace of God doesn't require to remove all the chaos from our life in order for us to finally experience peace. In fact, the word peace in the original language is so much bigger than just having no chaos in your life. The word peace actually means to be complete, to be whole, to be not lacking anything. And so that means that God can come into our life in the middle of a mess. God can come into our life and to make us whole, even when everything around us seems to be in chaos. God can come into our life and bring us peace, even when everything inside of our life feels like a mess. God can bring us peace. But some of you may be in a season where you're constantly surrounded by problems. You know, problems that there's always something to fix and messy situations. And sometimes the chaos happens at work. Amen. Sometimes it happens at home. Sometimes the chaos kind of creeps up and it's some kind of relational conflict that keeps bumping into you or you keep bumping into it and it's chaos. Sometimes that chaos is actually because of some kind of spiritual conflict. When we're running from God or unsurrendered to God, it's some kind of chaos because of that. But oftentimes, instead of it being external forces or other things and other people, sometimes the chaos and the mess that we actually experience is because we're experiencing some kind of personal or internal chaos. That we're dealing with personal anxiety. That we're dealing with insecurity, with fear, with discouragement. And it just keeps us from experiencing the peace that Jesus seems to promise. And I love that in the middle of everything that Jesus chose to come on Christmas in the middle of a mess. I love that. I mean, I love that Jesus didn't come with ribbons and bows. Instead, he was born in a stinky stable filled with hay. It wasn't very glamorous. It was messy. In fact, I think this shows us that God often does his best work in the middle of our mess. In fact, Jesus didn't come just to deal with all the easy aspects of our life and to kind of dance around all the chaos and all the mess. Jesus came instead on Christmas. He stepped out of heaven and into our broken world. He stepped into our mess in order to bring us peace in the middle of it. And so whatever sins we have, whatever past things in our past or the insecurities or the blemishes in our story, Jesus came to bring us peace and to transform us in the middle of all that. That's the hope of Christmas. So here's one of the things that you can write down is that Jesus's peace is greater than my problems. Jesus's peace is greater than my problems. Now, again, this sounds, oh, that sounds nice, preacher. But the reality is when you look back and see what Jesus did in Mary's life, everything wasn't going perfectly and there was a lot of chaos and Jesus brought her peace. Jesus's peace is greater than my problems. And it also means that Jesus's peace is often strongest when we're in the middle of a mess. You know, but Mary wasn't quite sure, just like we aren't sometimes. And so she had some reservations. She had some questions for this angel. Check out what what she said to the angel because she was struggling to feel peace. Check out what she says in verse 34. It says this, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin, how's it going to happen?" And it continues, "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" In other words, God's going to get involved in this, Mary. "So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And it continues on. Verse 36 says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." So essentially the angel's saying, and this is God's message to Mary. "Mary, I know this doesn't make sense. I know if you were to map this out on paper or think with all your logic and all the things that you could ever imagine, this doesn't make any sense. But the reality is when God promises something in your life, you can take it to the bank. When God promises something in your life, you can take it to the bank. But some of us are facing some messy situations where it maybe feels like peace is kind of unattainable. Maybe you're dealing with some stuff in your life where it just seems like peace is an impossible resolution. We're never going to have peace in this. I mean, you want to have peace, but all you see around you, just like Mary did, is all the problems in the situation, all the problems in that relationship, all the problems and the barriers that are preventing you from being fully at peace with God. And if you only rely on your own ability to produce peace, you'll never find it. Because it's impossible to manufacture lasting peace on your own. I mean, so many of us try to do that during Christmas. We run and we run and we run like the Energizer Bunny, trying to earn some peace. So what do? We have our Christmas list. We try to check everything off the box and running and running and running and running as fast as we can to catch up to Christmas. Hopefully we can get everything done so that we can experience rest and peace. And the truth is, it only lasts for a little bit. It's short term. See, the truth is, the true peace never comes by accomplishing everything on your Christmas list. Peace comes. In fact, one of the best ways, I think, to experience peace during this season is this, to slow down and savor the season. Slow down and savor the season. Now, this is kind of funny because it's not just savor the season. It means to slow down and experience Jesus, to savor the Savior, really. But it's hard to experience peace when you never slow down. It's hard to experience peace when you never slow down to actually receive it from God. One of the things that I've been sharing with our staff and some of our leaders is, this is kind of a funny phrase, but talking about sometimes God wants to open up a can and dump out blessing in our life. Now, I know this is usually another way to say, there's other ways that you can go with that, but I've been talking about what would it look like in our church for God to just open up a can and dump out his blessing in our life. I think that God does this all the time with his peace. That God is oftentimes wanting to give us peace, wanting to show us his peace. But so many of us are running and running and running and running. And if we never actually stop to receive his peace, he can be pouring it out and pouring it out and pouring it out. And yet we'll never really experience it. It doesn't mean it's not there. It's just because we haven't said yes to receiving it. And I think sometimes finding peace, sometimes we think that peace comes by just avoiding chaos, you know, avoiding all the problems and all the difficult people in our family and in our lives and dancing around and everybody's fine and it's Christmas and, you know, don't talk to anybody, you know, just avoid all the chaos. But that doesn't work either. Because there are so many people who have almost no problems comparatively to what we face, and yet they have no peace. And the reality is, instead, peace comes from your connection to Jesus and your awareness that he's with you, just like he was with Mary. You know, one of the things as a pastor that I find is so many people who are going through some of the most difficult seasons in their life, and that they have complete peace. And it's a head scratcher. It's one of those things, if you didn't know about the truth of God, you might think that they're crazy. In fact, my brother Josh and his wife Stevie lost a family member a couple days ago. And it's somebody who's an incredible, incredible woman of God. But it came as a surprise. And it was one of these things, obviously she's older and she knew Jesus and all that stuff. But everybody was so worried about her husband. Like, how is he going to make it? I mean, this was his best friend. This is like, you know, they did everything together. How in the world? Can't even imagine. And as they looked at him and as they watched him and tried to support him, they said, you know what? The strangest thing. He was literally going through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet in the middle of that, he had this peace that surpassed all understanding. It made no sense, but yet he was completely at peace. I think it's because when we put our problems in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. When we put our problems in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. I mean, that's what Mary had to do. Mary had to actually receive, she had to respond to God in order to experience peace. And so here's how Mary responded to this invitation that seemed chaotic, this invitation on Christmas. Here's how she responded. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And so in the middle of all this chaos and all the mess, all these problems that were ahead of her, Mary simply said, God, I don't understand how it all is working, but God, here I am. Here I am. I say yes to you. Use me how you want to use me. Lead me where you want me to go. Fill me how you want to fill me. But simply, God, I just want to say yes. I want to say yes. And the truth is, with one yes to God from Mary, one yes, 9 months later on Christmas, Mary gave birth to the Savior of the world. And she got to look at her Prince of Peace face to face, eyeball to eyeball. In a way that maybe we dance around, what is peace? And you can't put your hands on it. But she held in her hands the Prince of Peace. All because she responded to God and because of one yes. And the reality is, all of us want to experience peace. All of us want to have that. All of us want to help other people to have Jesus's peace in their lives. That would be awesome. And the truth is, what I want to tell you today is you might be one yes away. You might be one yes away from experiencing peace like you've never experienced it before. One yes. And for some of us, that yes may be saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. I mean, he's the source of peace. Maybe you've been dancing around in your life and maybe have never fully turned your life over to God. And maybe that yes today is saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. Maybe for some of us, it's saying yes to God, to some kind of situation or opportunity that God's calling you to be part of. Maybe for others of us, it's saying yes to the way God wants you to serve, for the way God wants you to get more connected. For maybe it's saying yes to this person that God's been tapping you on the shoulder and bugging you about that you need to be, that he wants you to invite. He wants you to share your faith with. Maybe it's saying yes to a way that God wants to use you in the world that you think is impossible. See, the truth is, all these things, peace never happens when you're distant from God. It never happens when you're distant from God or when you're out of alignment from what God wants you to do. True peace comes when you're connected to God and when you're in alignment with him. And so this Christmas, what if that became your biggest priority? Not to accomplish all your Christmas lists, but what if your biggest priority was to be more connected to Jesus? See, when you're at peace with Jesus, the truth is you start to have peace within yourself. And that peace within yourself starts to produce peace in your other relationships. In fact, one of the things that I find is the further I am away from God, the more I get disconnected from God, the more anxiety and insecurity and tension I start to feel. The more I start to get disconnected from God, the more cranky I start to become with other people. It all starts with our connection to Jesus. He wants to be your Prince of Peace. And so this Christmas, you could be just one yes away from experiencing that peace. I don't know what area of your life that is that Jesus is prompting you to say yes to that, but you'll never receive it unless you say yes. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, and for your peace. Jesus, I thank you that you work even in the middle of our greatest messes in order to bring us peace. And Jesus, I thank you today that there may be somebody in here who needs to say yes to you in some kind of way. All of us do. But God, I pray that maybe for that person in here today who's maybe never said yes to a relationship with you, maybe today would be the time when they would say yes. Maybe for some of us in here, God, there are people who you've been calling them to be part of something. You've been wanting to use them in a greater way. And this chaos that we're experiencing is maybe that we haven't said yes to be a part of what you want us to do. Maybe it's to live the way you want us to live. Whatever yes it is, I don't know what that is, but you do, God. And I just pray that you would prompt our heart to respond so that we can experience your peace. God, I pray that if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you today, that maybe they would decide to enter into a relationship with you, to have your peace. And so Jesus, we just pray that our Emmanuel, who's with us, our God who's with us, would come, would have your way with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.